Jump shot. It goes. Zach Randolph does it again. 3-point game. They've got to go for three now. No choice. Conley for three. Ties it up.
First team all defense. First team all defense.
Here's Gasol from outside. Tony Allen. Shot clock at four. Randolph puts it up. Puts it in.
You are Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Grizzlies podcast. As always, I'm one of your hosts, Mark King, for this show. The Monday edition of the show today is a little bit different, or it's kind of the same as we had last week. We had several conversations with different people around the league. In today's show, we're going to be talking with Matt George from Locked On Sacramento, Locked On King, excuse me. So him and I having a conversation because the Kings are in primarily kind of the same boat as the Grizzlies, I guess, in terms of the playoff race. They are technically in the race, although I don't think that they'll reach the Grizzlies, and neither does he. So it's a conversation on just when the Grizzlies and the Kings and the NBA as a whole get started back and what they should do in terms of trying to make it as fair as possible. So I hope you guys enjoy this conversation. But before we get to that, make sure you guys remember that today's show, as always, is brought to you by Built Bar. Go check out their protein bars. They're delicious. They're awesome. And they support our show. So make sure you go support them. Go to their website, builtbar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off your first order.
It's crazy to think about. We're now in the end of May. We're going to be in June very shortly, and we're talking about the summer months now. This is around the time where we're deep into the playoffs and talking about NBA Finals matchups coming up very, very shortly. It's crazy how much time has gone on. It's already been 3 months since the season came to its abrupt halt, and while it's been while it felt like it's gone by fast, it also feels like it's dragged on forever. So the fact that we have the potential of the NBA returning, the fact that we have some news about the possibility of NBA games being played and a plan being put into place, to me, that's a victory in itself, even if it means from a Sacramento Kings perspective that the Kings might not get the quote-unquote fair shot, which is an 82-game regular schedule to try and make the playoffs.
Yeah, it has been a while, you know, and it's kind of a weird thing. And I will say, right, you know, before we get really into the, I guess, meat of the conversation, is you mentioned fair, and you know, as in life, there's never, you know, whatever the NBA decides and whatever happens, there's not going to be a fair shot for anybody. There's going to be someone that is going to be, quote unquote, you know, on the wrong side of this.
So yes.
This, whether that's like, you know, there's obviously a lot of teams like the Kings, the Grizzlies, the Pelicans, the Trailblazers, all those fan bases out there that are kind of on this bubble or, you know, in a legitimate playoff race that, you know, there's no one's going to be happy, you know, but they're, you know, so the NBA has a situation where they have to make some hard decisions, and it is just what it is. And I would just caution everybody, your Kings fan base, Grizzlies fan base, because I'm sure they'll listen to this too. You know, there are going to be people, there are probably going to be people that are very unhappy with the decisions, and you might feel slighted in the decision, but there's no real great way out. You know, it's a little bit like dealing with children at some point. You know, there are going to be times everybody's upset, or some people feel like they've gotten mistreated in a certain way, but, you know, your time, you know, it all comes around. I guess my point is that it's going to suck for some teams, but at the same time, it is what it is.
Very well said, Mark, and I agree with you completely. I've said it a couple times. There's not going to be a scenario where everybody is pleased, and no matter what decision the NBA makes, there's going to be a group of teams, or at least one team, that is saying, well, what gives? I mean, you can talk about the Milwaukee Bucks or the Los Angeles Lakers, arguably the two title favorites, going, why in the world are we now potentially going to be losing the advantages we worked towards this entire season to do some kind of group stage form? Matt, if that becomes a thing, I feel the Dallas Mavericks would have a legitimate gripe if they went for the play-in tournament for the Western Conference 7th and 8th seeds when the Mavericks have a 7-game advantage over the 8th seed Memphis Grizzlies, there was no way that they were really going to lose that spot. So no matter what happens, somebody's going to be frustrated. But before we dive into this conversation, just to make it clear to you and those that are listening as well, compared to the 70-game theory or theoretical model that the NBA threw out there of completing an abbreviated season of 70 games when the Kings have already played 64 games so far this season, I much rather I highly prefer them just starting with the playoffs with the 16 teams that are currently in right now over that model. It's not so much in that situation about the Kings getting a fair shot or the Blazers getting a fair shot. At that point, it's just about player safety and avoiding meaningless basketball games.
Well, that's you know, I think there's another side of it. And I was just, I did a podcast with our other fellow partner, Locked On Warriors host, Wes. And we just had the same conversation. I think there's a lot of this that people don't talk about and they don't take it to account in terms of what the NBA is going to decide. It's a couple things. Like you mentioned, player safety, and these guys have not been playing for 3 months now. And so it's not like you guys could just roll out and just play full speed basketball at NBA level and not expect to have any kind of major injuries. And that's the last thing you want. The last thing NBA wants is Giannis Antetokounmpo or LeBron James going down with a knee injury 3 games into a playoff season and changing the entire landscape to the playoffs, where there has been a lot of talk of an asterisk on the season, which I don't think there should be at all, because everyone will have a fair chance. But if you have someone like LeBron go down for the first week back for not playing for the weeks because you run him out there with no real preparation, then yeah, you probably do have to put an asterisk on this season. So there's that component of it, but there's also a business component of it as well. I mean, there are owners that they want to make money. You know, there's a model of a group play out there of this idea, or they're in Disney. Like every game that isn't in a home arena for those teams, they lose a lot of money. They lose a lot of money. I mean, and I know that's part of it. And then they're also, you have to worry about TV deals. I mean, what amount of games are going to be on TV for, TV providers? Like what the first round's normally on, regional cable networks, Fox Sports South, something like that. So there's all these different variables that go into a decision-making process for the NBA, and not just, okay, what is fair for the Kings fan base or what is fair for the Grizzlies fan base? Right. I think that people are, a lot of fans, and, that's their prerogative to not – they're just fans. I get that. I really do. But the NBA has to think about it from a business perspective as well as, just an entertainment perspective.
I'm not a friend of Adam Silver's. I'm certainly not involved in this NBA Board of Governors and their decision-making, but the best way I can think to sum it up is they want to maximize profit while minimizing frustration or minimizing exposure, essentially. So it's a balance there, and this is all going to be a balance with whatever decision that they end up making. I agree 100% with you. I don't think there should be an asterisk at the end of this season as of right now, because everybody is kind of on the same page. But like you said, if something were to happen where, because of not enough proper time for these players to get in shape, Giannis Antetokounmpo or James Harden or a big-name player goes down with a very significant injury, then at that point you start to get into the chaos and the wishy-washiness of an asterisk. But the main reason why I wanted to have you on and chat with you today is because I got into a conversation last night on Twitter with Tony Jones. He's a fantastic writer for The Athletic, actually covers the Utah Jazz, and he put out an interesting tweet, and you talk about kind of being in the middle and being on both sides. I understood perfectly both sides of this, even though I kind of leaned on the Kings side of things. He put out a tweet saying that he kind of felt bad for the Memphis Grizzlies, seeing as how they, as of right now, fair and square, based off of how the season has gone up to this point, they are in the 8th seed in the Western Conference, and they were better than the Blazers, than the Kings, than the Spurs, and then the Pelicans. So that deserves proper credit, which I agree completely. However, I also do feel that those four other teams that I just listed had a very legitimate shot of taking that spot away, being only 3.5 to 4 games back of Memphis. And on top of that, Memphis was going into a very difficult stretch of schedule where they had to play Portland twice, they had to play New Orleans twice, they still had a game against San Antonio, and on top of that, they had already lost the season series 3-1 to the Sacramento Kings. So those four teams, I felt, deserve a legitimate shot at the playoffs. Where are you at in there? Do you think we should honestly be giving more credit to the Memphis Grizzlies for where they're at to this point and just say, you know what, this season is an anomaly? Yes, they had the hard part of their season coming up, but it didn't happen. They deserve to be in. They should be in 100%.
Just want to remind you guys that today's episode is brought to you by BuiltBar.com, as has been the last few weeks. They've been an amazing sponsor and super generous to support our show. But again, these guys aren't just supporting their show, but their products are actually really, really good. So again, I think I've pretty mentioned I've gotten back into running a little bit. So these things have been actually come at a time for me where I actually probably needed them most to try them out. And so they were super helpful, and they're also super healthy. And that's the biggest part about it, is that they're not some old crappy protein bar. They're actually really good. They're actually pretty tasty. So go check them out. BuiltBar.com. They have all kinds of different flavors. They have nut-free flavors. They're 100% chocolate. They are soft. They're easy. They literally taste like candy. They are delicious. You know, not every flavor is going to be for every person. There were some flavors I just generally didn't like, but there are some that I absolutely love, and those are the ones I continue to get. So go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. Get $10 off your first order. Let's get back to the conversation with Matt George.
Yeah, you know, it's a difficult situation, like you mentioned. I definitely, as a Grizzlies fan, as a guy who covers the Grizzlies, I want to see as many John Morant games as I can.
Yes.
And I'm sure that is true for our guys in New Orleans. They want to see as many Zion Williamson games as they can. And so I understand both sides of it as well. Because, you know, for me, the Grizzlies, yes, they're 3.5 games up. And there are a whole lot of games left. What would have to have happened, and the rate the Grizzlies were playing at the moment, they would have finished something like, I want to say 8-9 or something like that. That's the rate they were playing. They were playing without Jaren Jackson, without Brandon Clark. Mm-hmm. Those guys were about to come back. So, you know, there are a lot of variables that you have to consider in this type of situation. Not to mention, yes, they had a harder schedule against some of the tougher teams, but at the same time, what happens if those teams sit and play guys that had games against the Rockets? What happens
yes.
if those guys at the end of the year just said, you know what, we're not going to play James Harden because, you know, so that game was a traditionally a difficult game for the Grizzlies becomes an easy win mm-hmm. because those teams decided to sit players. So there's a lot of variables like that that you just kind of – it's hard to take into account, like, how you measure that. And so I think – I see the point. I get both sides of the world. Like, I think they had a very legitimate shot, the Pelicans or the Kings or whomever, behind the Grizzlies to, yes, overtake that 8th playoff seed. Would it have been difficult? Yes, because they have a 3.5 game lead. Would it have been impossible? Absolutely not. And so – they deserve that chance, just like the Grizzlies deserve, you know, just like the Grizzlies on the opposite side of it, deserve to have credit for the 3.5 game lead. So if you were to say, you know what, guys, let's just have a play-in tournament between the Pelicans, the Kings, and the Trailblazers and the Grizzlies. Let's just have a play-in tournament for that last spot. Well, that's not fair because the Grizzlies have worked all season to build that 3.5 game lead with not a whole lot of time left to go. And, you know, it's not our fault that mm-hmm. that the season it was ended because of an epidemic or a pandemic. Excuse me. So, like, I get it. But at the same time, you know, everybody deserves a chance to get back to where they were. But at the same time, the Grizzlies have had built a significant, you know, a significant advantage of on those games. And so it's a difficult situation to be in. So I get both sides of it as well. That's why I think probably if they were to do anything, all the things I've seen out there, the group stage of the first round, I think would have been, it's probably the most fair and the most entertaining in terms of what possibilities are there. A, you get 45 more games if you did it like that. B, you get better entertaining matches in the first round. You don't have to play, because let's be honest, we're all playing for a chance to get swept by the Lakers.
So like, right.
It is what it is. I'd rather not do that. And so, you know, that's why I think of all the models that have been proposed, that's probably the most fair, but also most entertaining as well.
Mark, you brought up a fantastic point that I didn't even think about with the strength of schedule, the fact that towards the end of the year, especially when you're taking on teams that know that they're in the playoffs, they're gonna rest some players. And we know very well here in Sacramento that the games at the end of the year, at the end of your schedule, you can somehow end the season with a win over a top team. And it feels good when you look at it from a schedule perspective, but when you really take the context of the game into mind, I know a couple of years ago when the Houston Rockets were one of the best teams in the NBA, the Kings ended their season at home with a win over over the Rockets. Well, James Harden was not playing at the time, but hey, we don't need to mention that. It just looks like a win in the win column, which we'll definitely take. So that's a fantastic point that you bring up, and I'm glad you brought that up. But I'm also glad you brought up the group stage idea. I'm 100% for this. I'm a huge soccer fan. I believe you are as well. I love the World Cup model. This group stage, it provides drama. And on top of that, it's the ideal scenario for a team like the Kings, like the Grizzlies. And let me backtrack, by the way. Even if the Kings and the rest of the NBA had played an 82-game schedule, I want it on the record that I don't think the Kings would have caught the Grizzlies. I think the Grizzlies should have been more afraid of the Portland Trail Blazers over any other team just because of their star power and Damian Lillard. But I didn't think the Kings were going to catch the Grizzlies. I was hopeful, but I didn't think it was going to happen. This way, the Kings have a legitimate chance. But in the group stage idea and in this scenario, teams like the Grizzlies, teams like the Kings, those teams that are looking at a first-round exit now have a legitimate chance, instead of having to beat a juggernaut in a seven-game series and win four games against a really good team, all they have to do is go on a good run in those eight games against the other four teams in your group, and suddenly you can find yourself in the next round of the playoffs. That sounds like a fantastic scenario from the Kings and Grizzlies' point of view, but in that scenario, I can understand how maybe the Los Angeles Lakers or the other juggernaut teams, the Milwaukee Bucks, how they're saying, what the hell? We worked all year for this home court advantage and for this this chance to be the best team taking on the worst team in a seven-game series. We don't want to do this scenario where we can get caught napping on a couple nights.
Yeah, I think you're completely right in that scenario. They're going to be the ones that are like, hey, but why do we go out and win 50 games then? What does it matter at this point? But I think there is a solution to that. I think the solution is, you just put the groups in a way to where it's an advantage for the Lakers. It's an advantage for the Bucks. It's an advantage for the Raptors. And that's the easiest solution to that is that, you know, I've seen a lot of that too. Like people, I've been pretty open that I think this is the best way to go forward. And that's the first thing that people say to me. Well, what about X, Y, and Z? And I think the easiest solution for that is you make the groups weighted in a way to where it benefits the top teams, just like the playoffs benefit the top teams now because they have to play, you know, worse teams than them. In the same sense, it's like, well, the Grizzlies had a 3.5-game lead. I had this said to me by a fellow Grizzlies writer, and I said, it doesn't matter because the first round would be the first round of the playoffs. So the 3.5-game lead is going to go away anyway in the first round of the playoffs. There we go. You're in the playoffs. Congratulations. Let's make it to the second round. This is your opportunity to play your way out of the first round and into the second round of the playoffs.
Right.
And also not have to get swept by the Lakers. And for the Lakers and the Bucks and the Raptors and all these teams that are at the top part of the brackets already, again, you weight those groups in a way. And whatever it is, I don't know what it is. I haven't looked at it enough to know what the groups might be, and maybe I might do that. But you weight it in a way for the groups to be advantageous to those top teams. So where the most likely scenario is the fact that the Lakers are still going in the second round, because that's what you want as the NBA. You don't want to make a group stage where you get the Grizzlies in the second round. Let's be real honest. They want the Lakers in the second round. They want the Rockets in the second round. They want these star power teams where they need to be. Like I said before in our conversation earlier, it's because of TV ratings. TV ratings are what drive this entire business. You know, I don't know if a lot of people don't understand that, you know, TV ratings and the revenue they get from TV is like 80% of the money.
Yep.
Like ticket sales that we do on a normal basis, that's practically nothing. Mm-hmm. It is almost nothing in terms of what they make on an annual basis. You take like the NFL, for example, ticket sales in the NFL are 3% of what they make on a revenue basis. Same thing for the NBA. It's TV money. And so they want these big stars in that, you know, second, third, final, semifinals, all those positions. So they're going to make the group stage in a way to where it benefits those top teams. But at the same time, like, look, if you have a team that goes on a run, you have a team that goes on a run. It happens all the time. It happens every year. And so you just deal with it. And if it happens that way, it happens that way. But you want to give them the best advantage you can because they work for it all season long. That shouldn't go without notice. And the same thing we talked about the play-in. It shouldn't just be like, okay, you guys play in, because what the Grizzlies have worked for all season should not just go away. The same thing with the top teams, the Lakers and all those guys. It shouldn't just go away.
Let me make sure to tell you guys about one of the most useful apps on my phone. Blinkist is a super unique, super easy app. It works on your phone, tablet, or your web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands Let me tell you guys about the most useful app that I use on my phone right now. Blinkist. It's a really unique app. It works on your phone, tablet, web browser. It takes the best key takeaways, like the really useful information from thousands of nonfiction books. It condenses them down into 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. So if you have a lot of things, a lot of books you've been wanting to get to, but you just really can't, Blinkist is the app for you, I promise. It takes all the information that you want out of that book into a shortened segment to get through all the things you want to get through. Blinkist is super easy. In like less than like 15 minutes, I can get the books that I want to hear in a short drive going around Memphis. It's super easy. Again, it's super, super, super helpful. There are awesome titles. There are thousands of titles that you can use. I just finished a few weeks ago, The Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict. That's a really good one as well. I'd actually read the book, but I wanted to check it out on Blinkist as well. Super helpful. I highly recommend it. You get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed non-fiction books. All the books you want to for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. So that's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA. It's a 7-day free trial. There's no reason not to do it. It's absolutely free. And then you also get 25% off when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
I went back on my last podcast and we did kind of a deep dive into this group stage scenario. And what I ended up doing was I put together the groups completely based off of seeding. And the Kings were the 19th team out of 20. I gave the tiebreaker to the Pelicans between the Pelicans and the Kings because they have the same win percentage based off the fact that the Pelicans beat the Kings in their only meeting. And to just give you an example, based off of seeding, the first group, Group A, the number one team in there was the Milwaukee Bucks. And the next highest seed, the next best team in that group was the Miami Heat. So that gives you kind of an idea of, okay, yes,
right,
it's not the ideal scenario for the Bucks, but if the Heat are their biggest competition in that group, they're sure to get one of those two spots.
Well, the other thing is, and I don't know if, you know, a lot of people who are not soccer fans may not understand how group stage works. And group stage is awarded based on points in soccer. So you'll play a game, you win, you get, you know, your 3 points, you tie, you get a point. If you lose, you get no points. And mm-hmm. So at the end of the group, the most points are the two most, you know, the top two teams with the most points wins. The other solution is just to give the Lakers some points. Give them 3 points to start out with. Give the Grizzlies 1 point to start out with since they have a 3.5-game lead. Whatever those records are, if you want to decide, you know what, let's give them a serious advantage. If you can't make the groups weighted to their advantage in terms of who they play, give them advantage in terms of points. You can start the Lakers out with 3 points already and say, hey, guess what? Congratulations, you have 3 points already because you had the first, you know, one of the top records in the NBA. This is what you get for being that. It's kind of like being the number one seed, and all those guys now have to beat you every single time to even have a shot to even to have a shot at being the first seed in that group. So that's another easy solution in terms of what you could do for the NBA to make sure that those regular season records and where like the Grizzlies are in terms of being 3.5 games up, that's an easy solution to make sure those guys don't go unnoticed.
Mark, I want to wrap up with this, and in the interest of being sympathetic and understanding of the Memphis Grizzlies situation and their legitimate gripe, because they were a very fun team to watch this year. I love Ja Morant. Even though we've had a debate here in Sacramento, who's better, De'Aaron Fox or Ja Morant, I would strongly side with De'Aaron Fox as of right now. Regardless, I love Ja Morant. I love where he's going, and I'm very happy to see the Grizzlies, their turnaround begin and have so many, a couple of young stars, and enjoy the kind of year this year that the Kings kind of enjoyed last year. If the season standings were the same last year as they were this year, the Kings' playoff drought would have finally been over. But in the situation or in the idea, let's say the scenario plays out that we do have this play-in tournament, which I'm not a big fan of this idea, but let's say that the Grizzlies, the four bubble teams, and the Dallas Mavericks have a play-in tournament, six teams to decide the seventh and eighth seeds. Let's say the Grizzlies or the Mavericks maintain their spot and win the tournament so they get the seventh seed, but either any of the other teams knock the Grizzlies out of the eighth seed. In your mind, and based off of your fingers on the pulse of the Memphis Grizzlies organization and the fan base, does that feel like a little bit of an unfair screw job in that scenario, or is it, you know, Grizzlies, you had a chance to prove you were the better team and you couldn't get the job done during this tournament?
Well, Grizzlies fans already feel like they're getting screwed every day. So that's just kind of the mindset they live with all the time.
I understand that.
But I will say, you know, if that's the way it goes, and if they lose to a playoff, you know, in a play-in games, will it be viewed as fair? No. But will it be viewed as you had your shot and you missed it? Absolutely. I mean, I think Memphis basketball fans are pretty smart in terms of understanding the situations around them. Will they complain about it? 100%. But so will every single fan base around the country. But at the same time, I think they're pretty adept enough that I think they'll give us credit to where, look, if you have your shot to be able to beat, you know, if you are so sure right now that you should start the playoffs as it is right now that you're better than the Pelicans and it wouldn't matter, then you should go beat the Pelicans three times in, you know, a best of five or whatever, four times a best of seven, whatever that is. Go out and beat the team. If you think you're legitimately better, and that's, you know, obviously how the players would view it as well. But I think I would be able to give those fans enough credit to be able to recognize that and say, was it fair the way it started? No, but this is where it is, and you have to deal with it and move forward. And you had your shot to move on to the playoffs, but you just didn't. That's your fault. That's on you and the way you played. And so I don't agree with it, and I don't think you do either. But that is one of the proposed scenarios out there. And I will say this before we go. De'Aaron Fox, I love to watch De'Aaron Fox. He's one of my favorite players to watch as well. And he is probably one of three players that Ja Morant struggled with all season. Hmm. Every time he saw.
Well, we'll see if that rivalry turns into a legit rivalry. Hey, maybe some future normal playoff series between the Kings and Grizzlies one day would give us a lot to enjoy and a lot to watch. Mark, it's been a pleasure having you on. Seriously, I appreciate you being so flexible and willing to do this. Check out Mark's work on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. He provides fantastic content over there. If you have any interest in what's going on with the Grizzlies, any interest in maybe some news that breaks, you want to learn more about Ja Morant or just the state of the Memphis Grizzlies as a whole, make Mark King and the Locked On Grizzlies podcast your number one source. Mark, you're fantastic. Thank you so much, my friend, and I can't wait to chat with you soon.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it.